Let's go talk to Graham Couch. Couch in the Room podcast is a must listen. Opinion maker for the Lansing State Journal. Great Twitter feed. He's standing by on the Meyer guest line. Busy weekend. Busy time right now with Michigan State in the top 10. You also have Tom Izzo of Michigan State basketball getting ready for the upcoming season. And Graham joins us on the Meyer guest line. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. How about yourself, Bill?
Good, man. I'm still... this entire week, talking predominantly because a lot of people aren't talking Lions, and I know we had the Wings opener last night, but the Michigan State similar preseason storylines, not knowing what to expect, and maybe, and not maybe, more pressure on Harbaugh to win than Mel Tucker, but to look at the top 10 again, I just checked the rankings out earlier today and see Michigan State and Michigan in there, and they play 2 weeks from tomorrow, and they both have games they should win to remain undefeated is just mind-boggling still to me. It really is.
Well, I mean, it just shows how quickly this can all change in college sports these days and how little we know. I mean, you think about Michigan football a year ago, like 13 months ago. Actually, the season started later. So almost exactly a year ago when they demolished Minnesota. And everybody thought they were that team already. And then they had an awful year, and it was whether this program and Harbaugh could survive. And now look at them. They're 6-0, and I know they've got a couple games that'll decide how people think of Harbaugh coming up with Michigan State and Ohio State. But you look at Michigan State in 2019, before that Ohio State game, you know, Mark D'Antonio had a team that people thought, well, where is this? Is this a team that can compete for the title with that defense, or at least be, I don't want to say the title, but maybe in the conversation? And then it was pretty clear that wasn't the case. And so, I mean, in 2 years, these programs have both ebbed and flowed quite a bit.
What about that game tomorrow against Indiana? If Michael Penix Jr. was healthy and playing, I would be concerned. I know Tom Allen has done a great job with his program, but they're not the same team without a healthy, active, running, throwing Michael Penix Jr. How does this break down tomorrow in Bloomington?
Yeah, it's. I actually think if a semi-healthy Michael Penix plays, that's better for Michigan State. And really, he hasn't all year looked consistent. If the Michael Penix from last year was available, that guy is different. That guy is an NFL quarterback, I think. And he just hasn't been that guy. And it's he's been, I think, as much the reason Indiana has struggled in certain games as anything. And so for MSU, I think the backup is, I don't think Jack Tuttle is a guy who scares you. But they have some playmakers that can cause problems, and if they can just not turn the ball over and he's solid, that's a harder matchup, I think, than a really hot and cold Michael Penix who's going to turn the ball over three times and allow your offense to take control of the game. So, I don't think Tuttle's somebody who people fear, but I do think that it would almost be advantageous if Penix played at this point.
So if we were talking about Michigan and Michigan State 2 weeks from tomorrow instead of Michigan State at Indiana, how do you think, based on what you've seen, where both teams are at right now, how do they match up?
Well, it's sort of fascinating because Michigan certainly is the more one-dimensional offense, but they've been able to pretty much, a few exceptions here and there, impose their will and win by running the football and do that against just about anybody. And you know, Michigan State, on the other hand, the real question for me is that passing game to the point where it's sort of matchup proof? And what I mean by that is you look at the Nebraska game, and Nebraska took away MSU's advantage up front and ability to run the ball, and they really struggled with it. And then the passing game struggled in the second half. And I think they've grown quite a bit since then, but they played Western Kentucky and Rutgers. And like, so it with Peyton Thorne and, Jaden Reed and Jalen Naylor, are those guys to the point where it doesn't, if the running game's not working, they're still going to try to do it, but you're going to have a headache with them all day. And so that's the question for me. Is that group able to do that to Michigan? And, what is Michigan State's run defense against Michigan? Those are things we just don't know. And there's no perfect comparison this year. I mean, they've had the common opponent, Nebraska, which they both sort of escaped. Michigan was better statistically in certain ways, but it's really hard to predict.
So moving on from the games at hand, including Indiana tomorrow after the bye week, Michigan in East Lansing, One thing before I do move on to your thoughts on Mel Tucker and his popularity with other programs that could be developing right now. How much are tickets going for on the secondary market when you're here in Michigan and Michigan State on October 30th at Spartan Stadium?
That's a really good question. I haven't looked at it lately, and something I'll do next week. I would guess, though, that, I mean, a couple things. One, this will not set records for that game, but just because in the pandemic year, no matter how much intensity there is, it's still the cheapest ticket and the easiest ticket across the board in college football this year, even when the stadiums are full. But I think you're going to get north of, you know, $250-$300 for that ticket.
Yeah, it's going to be, and if they're both undefeated, then that week of ticket price, if you want to jump in on the game, could get really expensive. A couple days ago, or maybe it was yesterday, Stuart Mandel, who is one of the better-known college football insiders for The Athletic, you know, just posed a question, didn't have any sources. Is Mel Tucker a good fit for LSU? My first thought was, here you go again with Nick Saban. I do think Michigan State football and athletics are in a different place financially right now, where Mel Tucker just went run and they have money to match potential offers. But his quick ascent into the top 10 in less than 2 years at Michigan State, including a pandemic year, there are a lot of big programs out there that could be looking for head coaches. Is Mel Tucker a guy you see short and long term at Michigan State?
You know, it's hard to say. At a certain point, you can't be the guy that jumps around all the time. Like, he's going to have to, you know, you left Colorado after 1 year. If you leave Michigan State after two, you know, at what point do the players and recruits not really buy into your commitment? That said, I don't know what it is. You know, I mean, how fast it's happened, I wonder if that changes the equation for him, because now it's going to be about sustaining it. Now, he has the resources at MSU, and he has, you know, I mean, I think he's got a roster that he thinks he can, the framework, continue to build around. But the question is, does he view it truly as a destination job? You know, he said that when he took it, but I don't know the answer to that. And, you know, a destination job for different people is different things. For Mark D'Antonio, Michigan State was a destination school. Nick Saban was frustrated banging his head against Michigan and went to LSU, although he tried to come back. And Michigan State, if they hadn't screwed it up at the presidential level, probably could have had him another 5 years. And so I don't know, you know, I mean, I look at the Bill Self, Kansas, right, Illinois was not a destination job for him. Kansas was. But for Bruce Weber, Illinois was a destination job. So you look at, to each person is different. And, you know, he's got recruiting roots here. He's also been in the South. USC would be more appealing to me if in certain ways. But I really don't know how he views this at this point.
Yeah, and it's one of those things we don't know. And I do believe that with how much Michigan State wants to win in football and what bar D'Antonio set, I know the end wasn't the best, that this isn't your typical launching pad job like it was with Saban. I really think there's money and there's facilities, and the fact of how he was able to do it this fast and where he's at right now. And I know we still have half of the season, you know, and you're going to jump into LSU and what? Go face, you know, Oklahoma, Texas in the future, A&M, Alabama, Mississippi State. You're going to go face them, or the Big Ten East, which right now has four top five teams. So I don't want to downplay the Big Ten. I just don't think when nationally people say, well, Mel Tucker is going to be attractive to every big school, I don't think it's the same quick exit strategy that we've seen previously.
No, to me, if he wanted to go win somewhere that where there's a brand where his style would work and where there's wins to be had, it's the Pac-12 and USC. That's the job that I would look at. Because, you know, LSU, you're going into just a snake pit of the SEC. And the thing that Michigan makes Michigan State more attractive than it did when Saban left is Michigan isn't what it was. That disparate, you know, that difference isn't what it was. I mean, D'Antonio kind of took care of that, and Michigan's own slide took care of that. And so I don't think you look at the Wolverines down the street and go, boy, that's a program, you know, you just can't quite compete with. And so I think that's a very different dynamic as well. And so Michigan State has some advantages, and that you do have every fan base is a little bit unreasonable, but it's probably expectation-wise more reasonable than some of the SEC fan bases or some other places where you can, you can have some 7-4 and 8-3 years, and people will deal with it. And so there are advantages too, and I think the resources will be there. They're pretty committed to that. They've invested quite a bit, but the job to me, and I don't know where it's at, if he was ever considering, and he left the West to come to the Midwest because he thought it was his footprint, but USC would be the place where you could win, where you take over a big brand, and I think what he does would work.
His name is Graham Couch, Couch in the Room podcast, wherever you download podcasts. Also follow him on Twitter, opinion maker for the Lansing State Journal. So before I let you go, what's your prediction tomorrow on the Spartans at the Hoosiers?
You know, I've got Michigan State winning 31-24. I do think it'll be a competitive game. I think Indiana physically is a step up from what they faced last week in Nebraska. I think they've got some playmakers. And this was an Indiana team that, you know, not long ago was having the same season Michigan State is right now. And there are a lot of guys back from that, a defense that hasn't been able to do quite enough, but is still capable. I think I think Indiana's been snake bitten a little bit, and I think this is going to be a competitive football game. Michigan State 31-24.
31-24. Graham, always appreciate your time here on the Huge Show across Michigan.
Talk to you soon. Thanks.
All right, Graham Couch joining us on the Meyer Guest Line. Meyer, proud to be longtime partners with Michigan State University Athletics.